Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We've got, I'm going to just say, probably one of my most favorite shows that I've done this entire year. It's such a privilege and honor to be here at the Hilltop Farm in Spring Green, Wisconsin, at the Reisinger Family Farm, where the Reisinger family for over 100 years has raised animals and crops in the beautiful hills of Sauk County. Got to have an amazing drive from Milwaukee here to their farm today, driving my city blues away into the rolling hills of Sauk County, relaxing all the way. I'm joined now for this next half hour, also again by Darren Von Ruden, president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union, Brian Reisinger, author of Land Rich, Cash Poor, and now Brian's sister, Malia Reisinger, who's taken over the reins of the family farm. Of course, if you missed it when I introduced folks before, we're here not just to celebrate the Wisconsin family farm, but also to celebrate the 49th wedding anniversary of the matriarch and patriarch of the Hilltop Farm, Gene and Jim Reisinger. Happy 49th anniversary. Before the break, Darren, we were talking a little bit about the economics, the evolution of agricultural economics in this country, the fact, we were talking with Brian about the fact that most legislators, especially in the Beltway on Capitol Hill, basically don't know squat about the farm bill or farming, and that every 5 years when the farm bill comes up, it's a bunch of scurrying about and they don't really talk about it. But I wanted to ask you, there's a couple of programs that have been working really well for the medium-sized and family farm, and there's been some, I would say, pulling back of the funding of some of these essential programs that have helped family farms move forward. Tell us a little bit about the local food purchase assistance program and other programs that have been working well.
Yeah, so the local food purchase and assistance program actually started because of COVID. The Biden administration and through the USDA put together some dollars to get out there and trying to directly connect the consumer and farmer, or a lot more directly than we are. The one stat that just drives me nuts is every piece of food that we eat might travel about 15,000 or 1,500 miles between the farmer and the consumer.
When I was a kid, it was 15 feet from my mom's garden into the kitchen. Yeah, 1,500 makes me very uncomfortable.
Yes, and the local foods purchasing assistance program was trying to cut that down. And here in the state of Wisconsin, through that program, 289 farmers, I think, benefited from that. Most of that food traveled less than 100 miles. You always have some that just doesn't get produced in certain areas, and you got to get beyond that. But when you can get down to that number, that means that that farmer consumer are more directly impacting what's happening in that community. Those funds got erased this spring by President Trump. He used his pen and said no more for the LFPA program. So all those farmers that were planning on those contracts this year, they had contracts already signed, should have been getting those dollars to make that happen. So it impacted not only the farmer, but also the food banks and the food systems within that network all of a sudden had to figure out how are we going to be able to keep that system alive. They have somewhat, there's some state dollars that are being put into that too. Thank you to our state legislators for making that happen. But it's not what it was. And so how do we get to a point where the farmers of the small scale especially can use that type of a marketing system to get the food to the consumer? You know, we're getting into this consolidation we talked about earlier, right? That there's fewer and fewer people to sell our products to. This actually opened it up and made it where there's more people to buy from directly from the farmer. And so that network needs to be built, and it should be built in every state around the country. We see the Dakotas and the Great Plains as corn and soybeans or wheat, corn and soybeans. They've got adequate land out there to grow fruits and vegetables just like we do here in the state of Wisconsin. But the market says, no, you're not going to. You're just going to do corn and soybeans or wheat and, you know, rotate, things like that. The idea is let's make that example work, but you do need help to get it started too. It's not that you can go and do it for nothing.
Right.
It takes money.
Takes some infrastructure. Folks, again, call your local elected officials, folks in our state legislature, governor's office. Tell them to continue the support of the Wisconsin Local Food Purchase Assistance Program. I also just want to note you can find out more about the Wisconsin Farmers Union at wisconsinfarmersunion.com. They also help support the Wisconsin Local Food Directory, which is a platform designed to connect farmers with a growing network of food security programs and community members who care about good food, because it shouldn't just be bougie people who go to restaurants with farm-to-table food. It should be everybody that has access to locally grown good food. Brian, before we say goodbye to Darren, I wanted to ask both of you, what do you think is needed to ensure the short-term and long-term stability of family farms here in the United States? Let's start with you, Brian.
Short term is we do need our policymakers to provide some stability to the industry by passing a five-year farm bill. And that sounds like a long-term thing, but it's actually something they're supposed to be doing the last couple of years, and yeah, they keep kicking the can down the road with a short patch. We need them to roll up their sleeves and get a farm bill passed this year that allows not only farmers, but people who, private sector lenders, everybody else. You know, it can be harder for a farmer to get a loan even if they don't want to access a government program. It's harder to get a loan if the farm bill isn't passed and extending out for 5 years because those bankers say, well, I don't know what the industry is going to be like. So we need that farm bill between now and the end of the year. Long term, we need farm bills that not only are passed on time and give us a five-year trajectory, but we need farm bills that take a look at all of the government programs that we've been piling up for decades. You know, anybody inside farming, outside farming, right, left, I encounter all of them. They all are pissed off about something with our farm programs. Here's why. Because we've been piling program after program for decades without looking and seeing what's working. So we have programs that aren't working anymore in some cases, and some are. We got some that are contradictory. We got some that have become prone to favoritism and abuse. So I've been saying we need a bipartisan family farm moonshot where we look at all of these programs and we go one by one. If it's working,
keep it.
Move it forward. Yeah. If it's not, reform it or get rid of it, because there's such lack of clarity on what's going on, and it makes it harder and harder to actually get something done. So that's my hope for the long term.
You touched on something, Brian, that I harp on probably to the level that ticks off some of my regular listeners. And it's talking about policies from a lens that what is actually working and fearlessly looking at that, regardless of political party. What are the goals that we want to see? I don't think anybody in this country or any elected official would be stupid enough to say, well, we don't want any more family farmers. That would be a death knell for the health of this country. If you're a MAHA supporter, you want to be in support of family farms. That means a comprehensive look at the farm bill. Darren, any last thoughts about what is needed to help support Wisconsin family farms?
We got to get back to a system that actually takes the consumer dollar and puts it in the farmer's pocket. Mm. Right now, too many farmers are getting a government check that keeps them in business. And we can get back to that. We just got to get rid of that thread that's there between the multinational corporations and the large companies in this country that have an automatic backdoor to our elected officials to make sure that they continue to get those savior checks or the government check that comes. We got to get back to a system that puts the consumer and farmer more in direct connection. And that can happen really fast if our elected officials in D.C. want to make that happen.
Thank you so much, folks. That was Derek Von Ruden, president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. You can find out all about their policy platform, their advocacy on behalf of Wisconsin's medium and family-sized farms by going to WisconsinFarmersUnion.com. That connection with farmers is one of the reasons I'm so excited to share this next bit of our half hour with Malia Reisinger, the heir to the Reisinger farming legacy here. Welcome, Malia. It's so great to have you.
Thanks for having me.
It was great to talk with you before, and I know we talked about a couple of these stories the last time you were on my show, but as a woman in a man's world, and I don't know anything about that as an economist. No. As a woman in a man's world, tell us a little bit about what it was like working with your dad to build the capacity for him to feel comfortable with that transition, and then some of those, you know, I'm just going to call them little awkward moments when gentlemen talk right past you because they think you're not actually here at the table to make any decisions.
Yeah. I will say, especially with my dad, it was never a woman in the man's world. Mm. He was always just like, yeah, you can figure out how to do it. So it was never one of those like, oh, you're just a woman. You shouldn't do that.
Jim, you're going to get an extra hug for that from me.
But I do feel like maybe more so with prior generations, even to him, that change was hard and seeing something different. Where like when we tore out the freestalls, it was like, but this isn't what it was. I want my freestalls because that's changing it. But being able to see the cows back in the area in the same group, even though they were smaller, it definitely makes it feel just like it's the barn.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Tell us one of the stories, like when you've gone with your dad into whether it's get some parts to repair a piece of farm equipment, work out a supplier relationship for fertilizer, whatever it may be.
Probably the hardest one for me was buying seed. I have a few reps that are phenomenal. They will talk to me. They're great. There was one that. One year he came and we sat down and talked about it, and he was like, he wouldn't talk or answer my questions. So dad would have to repeat the questions to him. And then the next year he came in the yard and dad said, well, you can go get her card and ask her when to set up a meeting. And he drove out of the yard. And I was like, well, I guess you don't need me.
Get out of here.
Nope. So he has not been back and we don't buy seed from that.
Girl, you let me know if he shows back up because I'll help bring the throwdown with you. Because
I was like, whatever.
He's going to throw away good money just because he doesn't want to deal with a woman. I call that just bad business.
Yeah, but I've come to a point where, you know what? There's somebody else who'll come in who'll be more than happy to work with me. So,
indeed.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Don't need you.
Yes.
Malia, much respect. I really, really admire and appreciate what you and your family are doing here. And I wanted to use that moment, the support of both your parents, Gene and Jim, their confidence in you. And Brian, we were talking a little bit before the break about the fact that there would be not a single family farm left remaining in this country absent women's role and the support of women in the farming community. Tell us a little bit about what your research told you.
This was one of the parts where my family history that I knew something about all of a sudden clicked for me as far as something I realized that the entire country experienced, which is the tradition of really farmland feminism that was lost to history. And what I mean by that is my sister is carrying on a proud tradition from my mom, my grandma, our great-grandmother, doing the work of a man alongside their husband. When you were in early 1900s Wisconsin, my great-grandmother, Teresa Reisinger, was doing the work of a man alongside of her husband, and it was a trailblazing situation. And what happened is a lot of our economy shifted from rural to urban, and we forgot these things. So we had women trailblazers in medicine, corporate America, all these places. Meanwhile, the women on the farm were just trying to survive, and they weren't telling their story.
They're working.
That's right. And it was those women who showed what could be done in the Rosie the Riveter years of World War II and beyond. So it's something that people forgot about, but women have been blazing trails in rural America for more than 100 years, and I'm so incredibly proud that my sister is doing that.
Absolutely. The first state to give women the right to vote, remember, folks, was Wyoming. Why? Because women were out there doing the work. Here's to Malia Reisinger doing the work, continuing on her family's amazing tradition. Brian's going to stick around with me for the last segment of the day. You're not going to want to miss it. We're going to talk about the future of the Reisinger farm and family farms across this great nation. Thanks for being with us for this special edition of the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. We're going to be cheersing to the 49 years of marriage between Jim and Jean Reisinger. We'll be right back.